Robbie, Marie, and the Doctor.
Triple J.
On Triple J, it's time to talk to a man synonymous with on-screen gore and violence, possibly one of the greatest horror movie makers in the world, George A. Romero. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
George, can I take you back to the beginning of your film career, back to 1968? What did you have planned for your career before you decided to be a filmmaker?
Nothing. I don't know. I kicked around. I went to college as a painting and design major, did 3 years, found out I wasn't very good. I was out of school where there was a theater department, so I transferred there thinking maybe I would try my hand at acting, and that didn't work out either. And But my first love was always film. In those days, I didn't think that I could ever have a career. I thought you had to be sort of born into it somehow.
Were you a very morbid kind of guy? Did you?
Not particularly, no. Other than whatever my Catholic upbringing did to me. I'm still worried about that day, day.
Oh, imagine
when
that.
Judgment arrives.
Dear, oh dear. You probably scared some people back to the arms of the Lord, I would imagine. Or at least made them think seriously. No. But you, of course, you started making movies in 1968. But before that, of course, from this documentary, you find out back at school you were dabbling in on-screen violence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when I was in high school, I had an uncle who had a little 8mm camera and I would play around with it. But it was just all fun and games, It was just more of a hobby than anything
else. Did the cops see it that way, though?
No, I actually got arrested. You know my history. I can't get away with anything here. I shot a little movie called The Man from the Meteor. At the end of the film, somebody shoots the man from the meteor with his own ray gun, and he falls on fire off the roof of an apartment building in New York. And so I had this half-sized dummy and set it on fire and dropped it off the roof. I got the shot, but I got arrested. So.
It was worth it, though. You got arrested, but you got the shot.
Got the shot.
We're talking to George A. Romero, of course, Night of the Living Dead and onwards. Well, Man from the Meteor onwards. the other great thing, I guess, you would have experienced over the making of all your movies for the last 40 years is how special effects have changed so much since
extraordinary,
the
extraordinary, yeah.
Yeah, and Tom Savini, who's did effects for a lot of your movies, he would have had a lot to do with it as well. What have you seen? What's your favorite sort of special effect when it comes to gore and violence?
Well, I love, these days you have to, you're almost, well, the last film I did, we were forced to use a lot of CG just simply because it gets you off the set more quickly instead of waiting around for some mechanical effect to work or not to work.
Is it actually cheaper nowadays, is it?
I would say that both the prosthetic effects are less expensive and the stuff that you can do CG is... if you have to put explosive squibs on an actor, sometimes they don't go off. Then you have to clean the walls, reload the squibs, do everything. Now one actor points the gun, the other actor falls down. You paint in the gun flash and you paint in the wound, and you're off.
It's almost like cheating, really, isn't it?
And you don't
well,
get to
you
use...
know, it's the object when you're working with low budgets is to the most expensive time is the time on the set. So.
And you don't get to use the word squib anymore as well.
No, that's true.
Who invented the word squib?
I don't know.
That's brilliant.
That would be a good piece of trivia.
We have George Romero, one of the greatest horror directors in movie history, with you this morning here on Triple J. Bricky, we're going to take a listen to a couple of tracks and come back and have a bit more of a chat to George.
On Triple J, George A. Romero is in the studio. There's a doco out about your life, Dead On, which is great. And also you're working on a new movie, you've made the new movie, which is out, Diary of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And this is like still in the series, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead.
Yeah, I mean, when you were shooting that original film, did you think 40 years later there would still be sequels coming out of it?
Mm-hmm. I never did. No, I never did.
Is it going to be Walking Frame of the Dead at some stage?
Brunch, maybe? I don't know.
Tea party. Well, Diary of the Dead, of course, for me, makes me think of January 12th, Dear Diary. I got up this morning. But what's going on in Diary of the Dead?
It goes back to the very first night. I mean, I suppose it definitely is part of the group of films, but it goes back to the very first night. So I wanted to do something about emerging media. I mean, all the ideas for all of these films since the second one, in the first film, it was really unintentional. I mean, the political stuff, it crept in from, you know, just our attitudes. We were 60s guys and, you know, kind of pissed off that peace and love hadn't changed the world. And starting with the second film, I sort of found this, that I had this device that I could use to, you know, to be critical, express myself a little bit, be critical of sociopolitical, use sociopolitical satire underneath these films.
And the FBI would never guess that in a zombie film you're actually making biting political commentary.
Yeah, I guess not.
We have George Romero, the director behind the classic horror films Night of the Living Dead, Creepshow, Dawn of the Dead, the slightly maligned and little understood O.J. Simpson, Juice on the Loose.
And Martin as well, which I thought was great, but specifically because of just seeing from the doco, the wrist slashing scene, which Tom Savini, your special effects dude, didn't he test it out on one of the people in the film, like at a tea party or at a party or something?
No, he actually came off. I hadn't seen Tom for years, and he came off the elevator one day and said, "Look at this." And he slashed his wrist right there and blood squirted and he fell to the floor. And I said, "Wow, that's great. How did you
are
do
you
that?"
Okay?
And, your first thought wasn't, "Are you okay?"
No. Tom is not the kind of guy that was going to come into my office and take his life. Maybe.
Too much of an irony.
Might have done it somewhere else, yeah. With a little more attention.
A lot of people obviously emulate the films that you've made, and there's a whole spin-off of comedy genres which have come out of your films as well.
Sean.
Did you see Shaun of the Dead?
I love it. I'm wearing the button right now. Yeah. Aim for the head.
There
Shaun
it is.
Of the Dead.
What are the pieces of advice? Because in this day and age, of course, having access to filmmaking equipment, a lot more people have it. Mm-hmm. You can edit stuff on your computer. There are a lot more budding filmmakers out and about at the age that you were when you made Night of the Living Dead who can do it. And in fact, there are, even in Australia, lots of people who are putting together their own little horror films. But what's the pieces of advice that you give to people when they're starting out?
Well, I mean, the thing that I always tell young aspiring filmmakers is make some film, because you can't talk about it. You know, you can't walk in and say, tell somebody, "I know how to make a movie." You have to be able to show it. So one way or another, get a camera. These days you can do that. It's within reach. And make something. But I would then rush to add, try to do something other than a zombie movie. I mean, I go to these horror conventions, and I'm telling you, every time 20 people give me, "Hey, I made this little movie, man." And it's always a zombie movie.
Don't tell me you're being typecast.
I think it's just it's a bit too easy. I think people feel that it's just about the gore. The effects can be done inexpensively. Just, you know, splatter some ketchup around and you got it. But very often there's sort of nothing to them. I think that being a filmmaker, part of the responsibility is that you want to convey some sort of thoughts from inside somewhere and not just you know, execute a bunch of gore.
So thoughts and blood from inside.
Now you're making it complex now, Julie.
Lay the blood on. Yeah, I know. I'm getting a little tough there.
But another great way to get into the filmmaking world is to, I guess, something that you did is to make ads. And we've got a great ad here that I stole from the Dead on Doco that you made for washing detergent.
The Calgon story. What happens when a Calgon research team and their submarine are reduced to micro size and sent on a dangerous mission deep inside a washing machine?
Engines reversed full, Captain. We're stuck.
We've got to find out what's on those fibers.
If you're tired of dull detergent films and grade B washes, thrill to The Calgon Story at your nearby Family Washing Machine.
Fantastic. That was George
brilliant.
Romero. That is just awesome. Where did you get the guy to do the voiceovers?
He was one of those guys. There's a list of them. You find them in these casting directories.
Do they answer the phone like that?
"Hi, I'm one of those guys."
Could be. Yeah. I'm just sorry, I was too late. I would love to do one of those trailers for Grindhouse, but the boys didn't invite me.
Well, if you've ever got a spare couple of hours, you're welcome to come and make a little promo for our little radio show, Robbie Marik and the Doctor. It's a bit of a horror sometimes.
To do it.
Hey, George, thanks so much for dropping into Triple J, and on behalf of everybody It's good to see you in Australia as well. Of course, you're appearing at the Melbourne International Film Festival, and your film is screening there as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah, actually, they have several of my films here, and Dead On is going to be here. The filmmaker that made that.
Hey, George, thanks so much for dropping by.
Thank you so much, guys.
And on that
appreciate
note,
it.
Not in space, round the Earth.
Robbie, Murray, and the Doctor.
Triple J.
Straight across Australia.
Triple J.